Welcome to the deep dive.
Uh-huh.
Ready to go deep on a Supreme Court case you all wanted to hear more about.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Today we're looking at Camps Newfin-Dowatana, Inc. v. Town of Harrison.
Ah, yes, Camps Newfin.
It's got a lot going on, actually.
It does, it does. Summer camp in Maine, property taxes, charitable exemptions.
And of course, always a favorite, the Commerce Clause.
Always got to throw that in. It really gets to the heart of this case, I think. The relationship between state and federal power, right?
Yeah.
How far can a state go to support its own residents without running afoul of the Constitution?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Which is all about keeping things fair between states when it comes to trade, you know?
Right, right. So let's set the scene here. We've got Camps Newfin, which is a summer camp.
Run by a nonprofit.
A Christian Science organization, to be exact.
Right.
And it's in Maine. But there's a twist.
A big one, yeah. 95% of their campers.
From out of state.
From all over. Yeah. And this is where it gets interesting, right? Maine had this law, gave charities a break on property taxes.
Sounds good so far.
Sure, who doesn't love a tax break? But there was a catch, of course.
Uh-oh. There's always a catch.
Always. The charity had to primarily serve Maine residents to qualify.
Ah. So because Camps Newfin was serving mostly out-of-state kids...
No tax break. They ended up paying a hefty chunk of change in property taxes.
Which, on the surface, seems a little unfair.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
But I guess the question is, are states even allowed to favor their own residents like that?
That is the million-dollar question. And that's exactly what Camps Newfin argued. They said, hold on, this exemption rule. This is discrimination. It violates the Commerce Clause of the Constitution.
They said it was basically a penalty for doing business, essentially, with folks from other states.
Exactly. And you know what? They took it all the way to the Supreme Court.
No way.
Yep. And get this, the court actually sided with the camp.
Wow. So even though we think of summer camp as something local.
Right, you'd think so.
The court saw it as part of this bigger picture, this interstate commerce.
Exactly. Justice Stevens, he wrote the majority opinion, and he said, look, even though Camps Newfin is a nonprofit.
Right.
They're still participating in interstate commerce. They're attracting campers from all over the country. And by denying them the tax break, because most of their campers were from out of state.
Maine was basically putting up a roadblock.
A barrier to interstate activity, yeah. Justice Stevens even compared it to an export tariff. You know, something that could scare off both the camp and families from other states, discourage them from, you know, participating.
Interesting. So it wasn't just about Camps Newfin then, really.
No.
It was about protecting this idea of, like, a national market for summer camps.
A much bigger principle at play, setting a precedent for how states treat nonprofits that operate across state lines.
That's huge.
Huge implications. Yeah. And that's a really key point you bring up. It wasn't just about this one camp. The court was making a statement about nonprofits. They're not exempt from the rules of interstate commerce.
They're players in the game just like anyone else.
Exactly. They play a significant role in the national economy, you know, just like businesses that are focused on, you know, profits.
So Justice Stevens was basically saying, nonprofits, you got to play by the same rules.
Pretty much. And he also made another interesting point that Maine could find other ways to help Maine kids go to camp.
Okay, how so?
Things like, you know, financial aid directly to families.
So cut out the middleman, so to speak.
That's the idea. That wouldn't involve this kind of, you know, tax policy that bumps up against the Commerce Clause.
Interesting. A more targeted approach.
Much more targeted. But of course, this wasn't a unanimous decision, was it? There's always those different perspectives on the court.
Yeah, always. Different ways of looking at it. So who disagreed and why?
Well, Justice Scalia, for one, he wrote a dissenting opinion. He argued that the court was, you know, overreaching a bit.
Overreaching.
Yeah. He thought they were using the Commerce Clause to basically prevent Maine from just trying to help its own residents.
Hmm. So how did he see this tax exemption differently? It doesn't sound like he thought the Commerce Clause even applied here.
No, she didn't see it that way at all. He viewed it as a form of state-sponsored charity, essentially, like Maine's way of encouraging these private groups to help provide important services to its people. To him, it was similar to direct welfare benefits, you know, which states are usually allowed to restrict to their own residents. He felt like the court was stepping on Maine's toes, interfering with their right to decide how they wanted to help their own citizens.
Right, that makes sense. But couldn't you argue that Maine's approach could be seen as giving an unfair advantage to in-state charities? even if they are providing, you know, similar services.
Oh, Justice Scalia definitely addressed that. He pointed to a previous case where the court actually upheld a state law that favored in-state charities over out-of-state ones when it came to inheritance taxes.
Huh. So he was saying, look, if we've allowed this before,
we should be consistent. Exactly. He felt like states should have some flexibility, some leeway in deciding how to, you know, support their residents' well-being.
So he's arguing for a more hands-off approach from the feds, emphasizing the state's right to make these kind of calls. But wait, wasn't there another dissenting opinion?
There was. This one from Justice Thomas. He went even further than Justice Scalia, actually. Not only did he agree that this specific tax exemption was okay,
he went beyond that.
He questioned the entire idea of the negative commerce clause.
The negative commerce clause. Whoa. Okay, hold on. Can you unpack that for us a little? What does that even mean?
Yeah, it's a bit of a legal nuance, but basically it refers to the idea that the commerce clause doesn't just give Congress power to regulate commerce between states.
Right.
It also kind of implicitly limits the power of states to pass laws that mess with that commerce, even when Congress hasn't specifically said anything about it.
Interesting. So Justice Thomas is saying, let's stick to what the Constitution actually says.
And leave it to Congress to make the rules about interstate commerce.
Exactly. He's big on what they call judicial restraint. He believes the court should, you know, avoid what he sees as judicial activism. Let the elected branches, the ones accountable to the people, handle these big policy questions.
So basically, he's saying the court should stick to interpreting the Constitution as written.
Precisely.
Wow. So we've got the majority saying states can't discriminate against interstate commerce, even for a good cause. And then the dissenter saying, hey, give the states more control. It really highlights some fundamental tensions in our system, huh?
Absolutely. It's the perfect example of how a local issue, something like a summer camp's property taxes, can raise these much bigger questions about who has the power, the states or the feds.
And how much power the courts should have.
Exactly.
This is already getting pretty complex, and we've only just started. Let's really unpack those opinions in more detail when we come back.
Welcome back. Let's dig a little deeper into what Justice Stevens was saying, that majority opinion.
Yeah, where do we even start?
Well, one of his big arguments was that the Commerce Clause, it's not just about physical goods.
Yeah, like stuff you buy and sell.
Exactly. It's about people, too. The movement of people.
So, like, people traveling, going to different states.
Yeah. Participating in activities, you know, all that. Justice Stevens actually said that transporting people, that's a form of commerce in itself.
Interesting.
And Maine's tax policy. He said, by discouraging those out-of-state families from sending their kids to camps Newfound, it was like a barrier to that travel.
So even though the camp is in one state, its impact goes way beyond that.
Exactly. It affects people all over. And Justice Stevens, he was worried that if states could just use their tax policies to give their own residents an advantage.
Even for stuff like summer camps.
Yeah, even for services like that. He said it could lead to, get this, economic balkanization.
Economic balkanization. Okay, got to break that down for me. What does that even mean?
He was using like a historical analogy, right? The Balkan Peninsula in Europe, it was famous for like all these political divisions, conflicts between different groups.
Oh, right, right.
So Justice Stevens was saying, imagine if each state started putting up walls, trying to protect its own people and businesses.
It would hurt everyone in the long run.
Yeah. It could really harm the national economy.
Yeah.
All that free flow of goods and services, people moving around, it would get messed up.
Like going back to the days before the Constitution, when states were constantly fighting over trade.
Exactly. And that's what the Commerce Clause was designed to prevent, a unified national market. Justice Stevens saw Maine's tax policy as like going against that whole idea.
It makes you think about how connected everything really is.
It really does. Even in a country as big as ours, one little decision can have ripple effects everywhere.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's switch gears a bit and talk more about those dissenting opinions.
Yeah, let's get into that.
You said Justice Scalia, he saw the tax exemption as more of a social welfare issue.
Right, he did.
Did he say more about that, why he thought that way?
Oh, yeah. He argued that Maine, they were basically using that property tax exemption to encourage charities, private charities, to help out with social services.
Okay.
He saw it as like state-sponsored charity, almost like the state was doing it directly.
Right, using those private groups to help out.
Exactly. And since states can usually limit welfare benefits to just their own residents,
he thought Maine should have the same power with the tax system.
That was his argument. He thought it was similar enough. And he felt like the court was overstepping, interfering with Maine's ability to take care of its own people.
It does seem like a reasonable goal for any state, right?
Yeah.
To take care of their own.
Sure. And he also had this point about precedent, which is, you know, a big deal in legal arguments.
Precedent, like past cases.
Yeah. He brought up a case where the court had upheld a state law that actually favored in-state charities over out-of-state ones. It was about inheritance taxes.
Oh, interesting. So he was saying, look, we've allowed this kind of thing before.
Be consistent.
Yeah, exactly. He thought the court was creating confusion for states, making it hard for them to figure out what they were allowed to do.
That makes sense. It's like, okay, what are the rules here?
Exactly. And he was also concerned that the court was being too strict with the Commerce Clause, getting too involved in a state's own business.
So again, that idea of state sovereignty. States should have the power to make their own choices.
Right. He was pushing back against what he saw as federal overreach. And then, of course, you've got Justice Thomas.
Oh, yeah. He had some strong opinions on this, too.
Yeah. His dissent takes on a much bigger picture.
You said earlier he questioned the whole negative commerce clause concept.
Oh, yeah. He did.
Did he have any alternative, like a different way to think about how states should regulate commerce?
He did. He said the founding fathers, when they wrote the Constitution, they probably intended the import-export clause.
Right, the one that says states can't tax imports or exports.
Right. He thought they meant for that to apply to trade between states, too, not just foreign trade. So like a built-in protection against trade barriers, even without this idea of a negative commerce clause.
That's his view. He's a big believer in sticking to the actual text of the Constitution. He basically said, let's go back to what it says. Stop reading extra stuff into it.
So he thought the court had overstepped by creating this negative commerce clause idea.
Yeah, he saw it as the court expanding its own power.
Mm.
He thinks the court should leave the policy stuff, the hard choices, up to Congress. They're the ones accountable to the people.
So much to unpack here. It's amazing how this case, which started with the summer camp's taxes, has blown up into this huge debate.
It really has. About the courts, the balance of power between states and the feds, even how to interpret the Constitution.
Just shows how even small, local issues can connect to these bigger questions about how our country works.
It's all connected.
And I'm sure it has real-world consequences for all sorts of people and organizations.
Oh, absolutely. Let's talk about that after the break.
Sounds good. We'll be right back to explore what this all means for you, the listener. All right, we're back and ready to wrap things up with Camp's Newfound. We've covered a lot of ground here, but the big question is, what does all this mean for the average person? Like, why should I care about this case if I'm not a lawyer or running a summer camp?
Well, think about it this way. It's not just about summer camp. It's about choices. Do we want a country where each state can kind of do its own thing?
Like create its own little economy.
Yeah, potentially leaving some folks out in the cold. Or do we strive for something more unified, a national market where everyone has a fair shot, no matter where they're from?
It's that economic balkanization thing we were talking about earlier, right?
Exactly. And beyond the economics of it all, there are some big implications for charities, nonprofits all across the country.
Oh, how so?
This case really reinforces the idea that even nonprofits have to play by the rules of interstate commerce. They can't just assume they're exempt from the Commerce Clause because they're not, you know, focused on profits.
Yeah. It's a wake-up call for any nonprofit working across state lines or serving people from all over.
Right. They need to be aware of these legal issues and think strategically.
Strategically.
About what? Well, things like fundraising, how they allocate their resources. What if a nonprofit relies heavily on state tax breaks? This case shows those aren't always a sure thing. They could be challenged, and the organization needs to be ready to defend itself.
It's like the legal landscape can be tricky, even for organizations doing good work.
Absolutely. But zooming out even further, this case really forces us to grapple with some basic questions about how our country works.
You know? Like, what are the rules of the game?
Yeah. It highlights that constant push and pull between state autonomy, like states governing themselves, and national unity. We want states to be able to handle their own affairs, but we also need that big picture framework to make sure things are fair, that states aren't stepping on each other's toes.
And this case shows it's not always easy to find that balance.
Nope, not at all. Even the Supreme Court justices, they couldn't agree.
Which just shows how complex these issues really are.
Totally. It's a reminder that our system, it's built for debate. Disagreement. It's a process, you know, constantly trying to figure out what these principles mean in real life.
And that's where we, the citizens, come in.
Right. We need to be part of the conversation.
Be informed. Understand the different sides. Participate, whether it's voting, talking to our elected officials, even just having thoughtful discussions with friends and family. We all have a role to play in shaping the kind of country we want.
Absolutely. So the next time you hear someone talking about supporting local this or that, or a state trying to regulate some aspect of commerce, think about Camps Newfound. Think about those ripple effects. What kind of precedent are we setting? What does it mean for the balance of power? It's about thinking critically, seeing those connections between what might seem like small events and the bigger picture, and using that knowledge to inform our own choices.
That's what we're all about here on The Deep Dive, equipping you with the knowledge and context to navigate this crazy world. We hope this episode gave you a deeper understanding of Camps Newfound Owatonna, Inc. v. Town of Harrison, and why it still matters today.
And we hope it sparked your curiosity to keep learning, keep asking those tough questions, keep diving deep.
Thanks for joining us. Until next time, keep those brains engaged.